Good morning and welcome to the WHTC Outdoor Show with your host, Tom Mettendorf, the outdoor show for the whole family. This morning's show is being brought to you by Powderhorn Guns and Archery. Phone lines are open now. Call 395-1450. That's 395-1450. It's the WHTC Outdoor Show.
Good morning. Welcome to the Outdoor Show. This edition of the Outdoor Show is brought to you by Advantage Marine in Zeeland, Farmers Co-op in Hudsonville, Weston Brook Mower, Powderhorn Guns and Archery, and My Firearms ETS. You're listening to the Outdoor Show live right here on 1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown outdoor station. Give us a call with your questions or comments at 395-1450. I'm Tom Mettendorf. Tim Becker of Powderhorn Guns and Archery is not here this morning. I think he's somewhere in Canada taking care of getting things ready for the bear hunters that book hunts through the store there at the Powderhorn. Anyway, I'm here with Bob Coles, MOA Gunsmithing. That's right here in Holland. And Bob's got some interesting stuff to tell me about today.
Oh, yeah. Always
tell you about today.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah. Yep.
I'm selfish. I want to know. So.
Well, I'm glad you called me back. Yeah. It's fun.
Well, yeah. And the information we have for the listeners when you're here, I think, is super valuable.
Oh.
Super valuable. And we have, well, we've got the youth waterfowl hunt.
Yep.
I think. Oh. That's this weekend. No, next weekend. Whew. And then we have the youth deer hunt, and people are getting ready and trying to make sure things are going. And it kind of spurred my thoughts because my brother called and asked if I had something for another youth, a friend of his, you know, taking a youth out, if I had a different gun for him. And the only thing I had have left for doing that would be a 30-06. I don't think that's going to feel too good.
Yeah, yep.
I said I got a semi-auto, but I still don't think that's going right. to feel too good. It's going to take up some recoil, but not much. And so it got me thinking about it. Boy, you know, the youth are out there and they're getting ready, and people need guns ready.
Right.
And I don't know how busy you are right now.
It's ramping up.
I imagine.
Yep, you get the cold temperatures a little bit, and all of a sudden and they start pulling the stuff out of the closet, and, oh, yeah, I need this and I need that. And
yeah, from last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll do that this summer.
Yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
Summer's gone. Yep. Time to get it done.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And the and then, of course, I have a scope that I had a problem with. And
all right.
I got to take that to you.
Yeah.
I got to figure out what the heck's going on. I lost it looks like there's an extra shadow in there for something.
I don't know what happened. As you're looking through it?
Yep. And I can't see anything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I can't get my focus to come back.
Yep.
So I thought, that might be a rebuild time.
Oh, yeah. Yep. There's some internal lenses that are glued in place.
And I think I lost one of those that is sitting
this tipped.
Way.
Yeah.
Yep. It's tipped this way because it's got the funny black lines.
Oh, yeah.
Like you've got that curvature inside there. That just looks weird.
Yeah.
I couldn't get the focus. I'm like, something happened.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes you get that. You look through and it's like you're looking through a fishbowl. It's all kind of wavy.
Yep.
Not so milky, but wavy and blurry. And those inside lenses. Sometimes there's 3 to 4 of them in between your objective and the ocular lens. And they're all stacked and glued in place. And they use some sort of a cement. And they'll actually cement several magnified lenses together to produce what you want.
Right.
And if it sets... Yeah. If it comes loose, you know, you're going to get that, or in age, the epoxy's a yellow. And that's why you look through some of these older scopes and kind of has a tint to it, a color. It's not super clear.
Uh-huh.
That's because the epoxy holding the lenses together is coloring and yellowing. The lack of nitrogen in there, a little oxygen gets in.
So that's not our polarized.
Right.
Like our glasses.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
It's just that yellowing, like when paper turns yellow over time.
Yep.
In what... clued me into it is my daughter. I was cleaning different guns, working with some guns, and my daughter was there. I said, "Hey, take a look through this scope." So she looked through one scope, and she said, "Oh, wow!" And you know, she was only at 4 power,
right?
And so I pulled that one out because that one goes to a 14, and I said, "Look through this one." She's, "I can't see anything." What do you mean you can't see anything? Come on! I pulled that up. And went, hey. This isn't good.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. So it's good to check that stuff.
Yeah, and you know, but I didn't use that gun last year.
Oh, right.
So I didn't, you know, all I've been doing is just you know, keeping it oiled.
Yep.
And it hasn't been used for a couple of years. Well, we took it out, I don't know, 3 weeks ago or so. took it out and played around and did some shooting with it and so on. But then it was working then.
Yep. Oh, yeah. They always work when you put them away.
I think when I started adjusting, I think that's when it popped loose.
Because okay.
I heard something or felt something, I should say, kind of almost like a little grind in there. I was like, hey, what's going on?
Yep.
When I went to adjust it up to the 14 for her to look through. Because
yep.
very seldom I'll ever use the 14.
Right.
If you have really long distance to go and you want to boost up that power, that's good. But I usually start at the 3-4 power.
Yep.
And then if I can zero in on something, I'm like, okay, and then I'll dial it in a little more power and then change my field of view and everything else, and then I can get a better shot. But you got to have something that's standing still while you're messing around.
Yep. And last time I was in here, too, I told you, too, you can have those scopes rebuilt and gone through
mm-hmm.
for a fraction of the price of a brand new one.
Well, and that's why I'm bringing the scope to you.
Okay, yep. Yeah, because we can set you up with that.
Yeah. And that was my very first thought. I thought, Bob said we can rebuild these things.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have to go get another one.
Nope.
I'll get this one taken care of, and then I'm still good to go.
Right.
And it's I don't think it's a high-end scope. It's, you know, it's just your average run-of-the-mill.
Yep.
You know, to go with the high-end scopes, that's something. If I had longer shots around here, I could get a much higher-end scope for longer shots.
Yeah.
But we were talking about that just before the show.
Oh,
we don't get the long shots
that's right.
We want.
Yep.
We were talking, you said about 400 is the most you get around here.
Yeah. I mean, like I say, unless you go out to some bean fields or some farmers where you can do some over some ridges and stuff, but it's pretty tight.
Run from hill to hill.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
No. As long as we're not going up over the ridge.
That's right.
Hopefully we get a backdrop to it.
Yep.
And then we can make those long shots, but we don't always have those opportunities.
Exactly.
You know, when you go out west, you have lots and lots and lots of
yards. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, anyhow, with the youth seasons opening up, shotguns, a lot of times people don't think about the shotgun as far as being sighted in.
Right.
And each and every shell has a different reaction, different dynamic to type of shell, I should say.
Still need to pattern them.
You know,
get them out there, and with whatever load you're going to shoot on it, pattern it, see where it's at. And I mean, it's going to like some brand ammo, Federal. Might like, and they might not like Remingtons.
Right.
So you always need to pick several brands, put the hunting application you're going to do, and then pattern it. Find out which load shoots best for your application.
And if you're typically shooting, say, one type works good with an 8-shot for a small game.
Yep.
Now you're going to go out and you're going to hunt geese, and you got to have something, a heavier shot.
Yeah.
Larger shot, and you use the same kind of shell, but you switch the weight of your shot, that's going to change that pattern, too.
Yep. Time at the bench and at the range, tuning that load and figuring out point of aim and where it's going to shoot will pay off huge out in the field, because it'll boost your confidence of where your shot's going to hit when you're aiming, and you're going to be more used to shooting that load and just get familiar with it. And confidence is a biggie. If you're out there and you're questionable about whether you're going to hit it or not because you don't know if the gun's sighted in,
you're
50% thinking, times you're gonna miss. So you need
to. Is it a little left? Is it a little right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. The more bench time you have, the more comfortable you are with it, and you build your confidence. That's a huge boost out in the field.
And then, two, what I found always helps me out. I go on Thursday nights to Chickawa Sportsman's Club.
Yep.
They have trap shooting.
Oh, okay.
Skeet shooting is a little bit different. It gives you different presentations. It's more pattern though. Each presentation is always.
Right.
Where it runs the same line. When you do trap shooting, this is how I prep for grouse hunting and so on. You get out there to trap shoot, and you get a left, a right, a middle, anywhere in between there. You get your presentations come differently. You have to react to it. So I like to take my field gun, of course, a trap gun. You put that below the bird when you're shooting with a trap gun. With a field gun, you cover the bird, meaning the clay pigeon. And if you get accustomed, get your swing down, get things going, get mounting your shotgun. A lot of people don't realize that you kind of lose that mount if you're not doing it.
Right.
So get that mount down, and what happens, everybody shoots over it because they mount it too low when they throw it up on their shoulder. and they're not paying attention that they're seeing barrel and not bead.
Right, exactly.
So, you know, getting out there, I mean, it's 6 to 9 over at Chickawa Sportsman's Club on Thursday nights. I always go do the trap so that it gets me back in the swing of things.
Nice.
For hunting grouse and so on. So there's, you got that bench time, like you said,
yep.
You get that pattern down. And then that range time, shooting at the moving targets, gets you in the right spot. How much do I lead something? How much, you know,
yeah.
Am I a little bit left? Am I a little bit right when I squeeze the trigger? And gets your follow through down.
Right.
So it's always good to have somebody watch you. And you're missing birds. They can say you're not following through. You're stopping on every squeeze.
Right. A lot of people don't shoot all summer. You know, in the fall they start thinking about it. You know, and they remember how good they did last year, but no practice, haven't been at it, a little rusty.
Yeah.
Got to work at it a little bit.
Yeah, we all get a little rusty.
Oh, yeah.
The Outdoor Show is brought to you by Western Brook Mower, where they service what they sell. All units are ready to use when they leave the store, and Western Brook submits your warranty information so you don't have to. Stop into the Holland or the Jennison store, check them out on your computer at westernbrookmower.com, or call them at 616-396-5733. Lines are open. Give us a call, 395-1450. We'll be back here shortly on The Outdoor Show. Welcome back to The Outdoor Show, brought to you by My Firearms ETS, where we aim for safety. My Firearms ETS offers education, training, and supply, the best you can find anywhere. Courses offered by My Firearms ETS are designed to provide you with the knowledge, the skill, and the correct attitude to use firearms safely in all environments and situations. Upcoming classes are scheduled. Class sizes are limited. Register early to reserve your spot, 616-218-7328. We're back, ready to talk with you. Give us a call, 395-1450. Again, Tim is not here this morning. He's getting things ready for the bear hunters in Canada. They might even be hunting in Canada. I'd have to look that up to see if that's... I haven't talked to Tim for a while. I don't like him. No, I'm kidding. But I'm here with Bob Coles, and Bob Coles is MOA gunsmithing. MOA being minute of angle.
Yes.
And we are talking about getting your guns ready. And we just had a little thought, because we were talking about shotguns,
yep.
Getting ready for shotguns. The biggest thing that people run into with shotguns, semi-automatic and pump and everything else,
yep.
is...
With either not enough oil, use straight Teflon, Rem Dry, or dry lubrication, mm-hmm. or they over-oil them, too much oil. You know, some people spray them with WD-40 or just pour the oil to them. You know, I don't want it to rust.
Yep.
So you have two spectrums here, either... Nothing, which if you use, let's talk about the silicone based or the Rem Dry Teflon. If you use,
you don't want to bash anybody's
product. I'm just telling them what'll happen if you strictly use let's say the Rem Dry, which is
right.
a Teflon base. If that's all you used, yeah. I've had them where they actually slowed the action down because it's too much metal on metal and the buildup mm-hmm. of the product in there. It's not enough to slicken the surface.
Yep, it tends to actually. Gather in areas.
Well, use too much, you'll get a white crust that will build up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good product if used the correct way.
Right,
Certain parts, you give it a light application of that, that's all you need.
That's what I'm trying to emphasize to the listeners. We're not saying
no.
there's anything bad
nope.
because these products have all been tested.
Yes, yeah.
But how you use them
right.
makes the difference.
Right.
I used the hops.
Yep.
I was telling you hops number nine,
yep.
oil and the cleaning. Solvent.
Yep.
And I usually like to use the solvent to kind of strip everything.
Right.
To take out the dirt that
yep.
had been gathered by the oil. But then when I re-oil, I wipe everything back off. Because my school of thought says metal is porous.
Right.
Metal holds oil. No matter how much I wipe, it's going to hold that oil.
Yep.
You know? And so I wipe it clean. And then if I have a semi-automatic action, then I have my little teeny needle oiler, and
yep.
I put just a little teeny little dab right on the slide guides so
right.
that anything that is moving along there, the slide, the action, it picks up that oil that's on the guide, but then it doesn't splatter all over.
Right, yeah. You don't set the gun down and have oil on your hands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's too much.
Yep. And when I do that little dab, that's after we've been shooting. If we're going to shoot a lot of rounds,
mm-hmm.
and I don't want things to heat up.
Oh, okay.
I don't want things to heat up and,
yep.
and get... But too much oil, can't that heat things up too?
It'll gum it up more than it'll heat it up. Because it's going to collect dust and just dirt. Because, you know, if you just have it out there in the field and you're using it, it will gather more than you think. If you have a lot of oil on them, they are going to, every time you shoot around, you get powder residue inside the action. Believe it or not, I've taken shotguns apart where I've actually seen the round unburnt powder in the trigger groups.
Really?
You get that much, all kinds of stuff everywhere.
Unburnt powder.
Oh, yeah. And you can tell when you dump it all apart and you got it on the bench and you see the little round disc like let's just say unique is a ocular powder shaven. And that's where it's from. It's from that, unburnt.
Wow.
And it'll go all over the action. In the trigger group, back, past the bolt. It's everywhere.
I'm just thinking about it. We just recently tore down our M4s in .22 caliber.
Yep.
And we had picked up some cheap ammo because .22 has gotten outrageous.
Oh, yeah.
And the price hasn't come back down with the change in demand.
Yeah, it's taking time. It's getting there.
But we just pulled them all apart, pulled the bolts out of them and everything. And I was looking at them going, wow, this is some dirty stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm picturing the way it looked, there may have been unburnt powder in there, too.
Yeah, it depends on, you know, if there's kernels, you know, what kind of loads they were shooting, but you will find that.
Wow.
Yep.
Huh. Now, we got those M4s so that we could play around, and it's .22.
Yeah.
You know, .22 LR. But then .22 LR got real expensive and disappeared. And then when they run the specials, it's not always the nicest feeding stuff, but we haven't had any feeding trouble.
Right.
And it was a cheaper load that we had gotten, and then we had shot quite a bit. And when I pulled those apart, I looked at them and went, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. 22 long rifles are pretty dirty.
Yeah.
The nice thing about 22 long rifles is people probably don't understand that all the bullets are greased. So as you shoot each round, it's lubricating the bore.
Yep.
Unlike center fire that strips the bore clean.
Right. The grease that's on there, though, is that like a Teflon?
I'm not sure what it is, but the bullet's coated with it, and it just every time you shoot, I mean, it'll build up.
Yeah. I had some older stuff. I don't know if they used to always do it or if it just wears out. Some older stuff, and I started getting that white corrosion.
Oh, yeah, from the lead, yeah.
Yep. Where a lot of the newer stuff that I have, which has been around for a while, you know, you keep some on hand, that there's nothing.
Yeah, it could be, you know, different coatings that are on there, but I've seen quite a few other rounds, 22 and Santa Fire stuff, that the bullets do get this oxidization on there.
Okay. What else might the people look for with their shotguns when they're cleaning or getting it ready for the season? A lot of times I've noticed that ejector clips are a problem.
Yep. Well, it depends for ejection, whether it's a pump or it's a semi-auto, even if it's a break open, you know, the ejectors.
Yep, the ejectors on the back.
On the sides of the barrel.
Some people have trouble with those.
Yes, and that is also an oil issue, a gummed up issue. Had a Ruger Red Label come in, would not eject, and it was just too much oil and gum. Stripped it all down, cleaned it up, put the proper amount of oil on there.
Can't believe they did that to a Red Label.
Oh.
That's bad to do.
I know. We got them fixed up, though. They were happy. Yep. They cracked the barrel open and shoot both cases out. And
so it wasn't fully ejecting. It was just just pulling them out.
But remember, when the firearms manufacturers assemble these guns and ship them out, they want them to sit in a warehouse, and they don't want them to rust.
Right.
So they're lubricating and protecting them for storage.
Yep.
So when you get them, it's a good thing to give them a good, thorough cleaning, whether it's rifle, shotgun, or pistol.
Give them a bath.
Yeah, because they're assembled to stay good in a box for a long time until you buy it.
Yeah.
You don't want to buy a brand-new pistol that's got some rust on it.
Yeah, when you get a pistol, I just by experience, that's where I've seen the most of the... slipped my mind. The grease.
Oh, okay.
There's a name for it.
Okay.
It's gone. But it's all down in there, in by the action and stuff, and that will really slow down an action.
Yep, too much will. Yep.
So every time we get something new, of course, the boys take it, break it down, and strip it right
out. Yep,
get
clean it up.
And start over.
That's right.
Are you thinking about food plots? The Farmers Co-op in Hudsonville has what you need. They carry over 40 different seeds for your wildlife food plots, plus many pre-mixed, pre-bagged food plot blends like G2, Northern Edge, and Tecomate, just to name a few. The Farmers Co-op also has a full line of bagged fertilizers, including Triple 12 and 19, 62424, potash, and urea for your food plot growing needs. Check out the Farmers Co-op for minerals and attractants, too. They've got Lucky Buck, BB2, Appalicious, and carrots and sugar beets when they're in season. They've got you covered for all your fall hunting needs. Stop into the Farmers Co-op at 3302 Prospect Street in Hudsonville for a complete list of products and services. Check them out online at fcelevator.com. Lines are open. Give us a call, 395-1450. We'll be back here shortly on the Outdoor Show. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show, brought to you by Powderhorn Guns and Archery. For all your arrow-knocking, gun-cocking, fish-hooking, flag-waving, stand-up-and-sing, God Bless America hunting and fishing needs. Lines are open. Give us a call, 395-1450. We're back and ready to answer your questions right here on the at the Outdoor Show, on the Outdoor Show.
You always do that clip without taking a breath. That high energy commercial. Never take a breath. By the time you're done, you're ready for a breath.
And I'm thinking, I don't know. It's the Outdoor Show. Let's just do it. For those of you just joining us, we're talking about gun maintenance, gun cleaning, gun preparation for all the upcoming seasons that are happening here. And I've got Bob Coles, MOA Gunsmithing, here with me. Tim is gone, getting things situated in Canada. I don't know if he's got people hunting already or for what. I don't know the seasons up there. He's got them. I think they're up there for the guided hunts.
Oh, yeah.
They book hunts over at Powderhorn Guns and Archery.
We should be up there.
Yeah. Yeah, but I got to teach school.
Always something getting in the way.
Always something, like work.
Yeah. What's with that?
Earning a paycheck. What the heck? Anyway, we talked a little bit about shotguns. If you missed the beginning of the show and you wanted to learn a little bit about what we're talking about with those, you can go to WHTC.com, go over to Media, Podcast, scroll it down to the Outdoor Show, and click on the show for this week. Chris will have it there shortly after we're done. I'm not putting the pressure for the 10-second time frame on them. Anyhow, and now we're kind of moving on to rifles, things that we got to look at. We talked a little bit about scopes getting rebuilt,
right,
things like that at the beginning because I had a little trouble with the scope. But we also just talked about during the break something that people should keep in mind when you and I were talking about having the guns that sit, the ones we don't shoot all the time.
Yes.
And then once a year taking them out, giving them a rub down.
Yep.
And I never really thought about rubbing down the stocks.
Right, the wood. There's preparation and stuff you can do to protect the wood. Don't run in the cupboard and grab your wife's furniture polish.
Pledge isn't going to do it.
That's not good for the wood. You want to get a product that's specifically made for gun stocks. For an example, I'll throw Birchwood Casey makes one. You can get it at any big box stores. And it
Birchwood Casey.
Yep, that's the name brand.
Okay.
And it says on there, gun stock wax.
Oh,
and it's got Carnauba wax in there and some beeswax and blends. Mm-hmm. And this stuff is specifically made for gun stocks.
Okay.
You just wipe it on like you would a wax, let it haze and buff it off. Take like a little toothbrush, and in case you get into the checkering, you kind of want to stay away from the checkering a little bit. But you do want to get a coat on there.
Because you don't want to fill in the
checkering. And that's where the toothbrush comes in to
get
the... Not the one you use every morning. You want a different one.
You probably don't want the wax on your teeth.
Right, yep. Yep. And
or the toothpaste on the gun.
Exactly. That would not be good.
No. Old toothbrushes.
Yes.
Do you keep old toothbrushes?
I do. I use them for scrubbing and cleaning parts, and they work great.
It makes me chuckle because I have a box of old toothbrushes from my own, my kids and stuff.
Yep.
When we get the new toothbrushes, I tell them I want the old ones. My wife keeps a couple, for cleaning things, but I keep a box of the old ones so that when I want to clean something, get down inside something, and get those bristles in there, I can.
Occasionally you could splurge and steal a brand new one. Don't tell anybody. That's got nice stiff bristles, and it can really get a good job.
Yeah, and they do a different job than having a brass brush.
Oh, yeah.
There's a different there's a different when you get you can buy nylon brushes from you know for guns, but if you got you know enough new toothbrushes, if you got a family like mine, enough people going to the dentist and bringing them home, there's a lot of new toothbrushes.
Oh yeah,
around.
Yep, yep.
And then you sneak it out so that mama don't know.
That's right. Yep.
Anyhow, that'll help you get into some different areas.
Yep.
So you got your beeswax one. You got your Birchwood Casey.
Yep, that's the brand.
I was thinking beeswax, but Birchwood Casey.
Oh, okay.
That's a brand name. That's your wax for waxing the wood. You know, and then I keep one for solvent and so on. So that I keep, don't mix them.
No.
Don't mix them.
That would tear up the finish on your gun in a bit.
Yeah.
That'd
make a mess. But there's that one area that you mentioned to me that nobody thinks about.
There is. Underneath the buttstock, whether it be a shotgun or a rifle, generally that's an unfinished area, especially if you had a custom stock put on or something. They should have sealed the wood, but a lot of times when you pull that butt plate off, you're just going to see
the raw wood.
And you need to seal that because what's the portion of the gun that you stick in the dirt when you're leaning on the barrel talking about something? Or when you're walking, using it for a crutch.
Yeah.
Or
set the butt down. You don't set the barrel down. You set the butt down in the dirt and the moisture and things like that. And that's not a perfect seal between the butt plate
and the stock. Moisture can get in there. So you want to make sure you coat that wood good. And in that area, you could just put the wax on, put the butt plate back on. Don't even wipe it off. It's unseen, but you've got an extra layer on there just to repel moisture and everything else. Because it'll seep in.
Yeah, you're not staining it to make it look nice because you got a butt plate on it.
Right.
You're just protecting it.
Yep.
And as you were talking about that, I'll let you know that I have some muzzle loaders that I built that I use tung oil on them.
Yep.
And I put that behind the butt plate.
Yes.
Why wouldn't I want to have something behind the butt plate of my other guns?
Yep.
You know, my shotguns and so on. So that's a really good thing to make sure that you get that covered.
And like with the tung oil, you just reapply that.
Yeah.
Just rub it in again.
I actually use a little 4-0 to get it to rough it.
Yep, that's good.
And then
good.
I rub that back
Helps
in.
Helps polish it out.
Yeah. That's just to open up some of those pores to get it to go in.
Right.
I don't want to rub it on the outside. I want it to get into the wood to protect it. If it doesn't get in there, it's not going to protect it. Kind of like the oil.
Yes.
You know, all things are porous to some extent. You just have to figure out how to make it work.
Right. Yeah.
So, now, what about rifles, things that aren't ready when people are ready to go out, things that people bring to you at this time of year.
Right.
You know, this was last year, but I was going to do it this summer, and I forgot.
Yeah. Well,
you're kind of like me, because I keep forgetting to give you a holler and stop by and bring you my 16.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yep.
But I don't use those.
Right.
Those are things that I have sitting there that they're, you know, part of the collection. I just don't use them.
Yeah.
Once in a while, you know, every couple of years or whatever, I play around.
And that's new to remember. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
I should have.
But if I was hunting with them, then I should have it ready to go
right
when something happens.
Yep. The biggest thing is if there's a malfunction or a defect in whatever you're using, you need to get it looked at. If it's beyond your ability to repair, then, you know, take it somewhere, have it looked at as far as, is it still safe to shoot? Can you check this thing out? Can you strip it down? I had a guy bring me a little 25 pistol.
I prefer to bring it to a guy on the north side of Holland.
Yeah,
a business called MOA Gunsmithing.
He does great work.
No free plugs on the Outdoor Show, none of that. I draw my line at 10 free plugs. You get the first 9 for free. That's it.
That's our producer, Chris. he likes to harass us. Ooh, settle down. although we laugh about it, but the people that I've sent to you, I don't know if they ever told you, but everyone has called me and said, that guy does awesome work.
Wow, that's good to hear.
And it started, of course, my father-in-law brought his stuff to you.
Yes.
And then he gave me your number and stuff, and then I gave the first person that went to you that I gave information to was Bill.
Oh, okay.
He came to you with the Sweet 16.
Yep.
And then he called me and had me come over to his house to check out the work you did on the Sweet
16. Oh, wow.
He was so happy with it. He loved it. And he said that's just awesome.
Wow. I always figure no news is good news. When I don't get callbacks or I don't hear after a job, that's good.
Yeah.
They're happy.
And you know, they're not going to call. They're not calling to complain and say you did something wrong.
Yes.
That means it's good because not a lot of people are out there saying, you know, complimenting or thanking people.
Right.
It's kind of our problem with our society. You know.
Yep. So that's good. That's good feedback to hear.
Yeah. They, everybody that's gone to you, and you probably don't even know half the people that I sent to you.
I don't.
Because
so
they don't
many
come
you don't
and say,
remember.
Tom sent me.
Yeah. Occasionally I'll ask, how did you you hear about it or get the contact information? Mm-hmm. But, yeah, there's you get so many coming in.
Right, right.
I can't keep track of them all.
And so, you know, they're happy with your work.
Good.
So, you know, that's a plug for you.
Yeah, that's good news.
Was that 9, 10?
11.
We're at 11.
Well, we have to start paying now.
Anyway, the Outdoor Show is brought to you by Advantage Marine in Zeeland with competitive prices and personalized service to meet all your needs. Call Advantage Marine in Zeeland at 616-748-9235 or stop in and see Dave at 8755 Riley Street in Zeeland. That's at the corner of 88th and Riley on the northeast side of Zeeland. And start thinking. We talked to you last week about it. Start thinking about getting that winterizing taken care of. We gave you a lot of info for it. Make sure you call Dave at Advantage Marine and get that winterizing taken care of right there. Make sure everything's done correctly. Lines are open. Give us a call, 395-1450. We'll be back here shortly on The Outdoor Show. Welcome back to The Outdoor Show, brought to you by My Firearms ETS, where we aim for safety. My Firearms ETS offers education, training, and supply, the best you can find anywhere. Class sizes are limited. Register early. Reserve your spot, 616-218-7328. We're back, ready to talk with you. We don't have a lot of time, but you can give us a call, 395-1450. And I'm here with Bob Coles, MOA Gunsmithing. Bob, if somebody has a problem and they want to get a hold of you, what number should they call?
Well, you could.
Should they call the one I have, or?
Yeah, the house number, and leave them. If I'm not there, there's a machine. That's 399-1699.
399-1699.
I'm pretty much going to guarantee you you'll be leaving a message because I'm in and out a lot, and if I hear the phone ring, that's pretty rare. But otherwise, just leave a message. I'll call you back. It may take a day or two because with other things coming up, but I will call you back and just. Give me your name and number, maybe a brief description, but I'll call you back, make a note of it. And
okay. I was talking about that one that's in my phone that I call you on.
Oh, no. That one is. Yeah.
We'll let him call the regular
that's
one.
That's the private number.
The one that he picks up.
Yeah, right. That's the number the wife has, so I always answer that one.
That's the one that's in his pocket.
Yeah.
And honestly, to have the one that's in your pocket be the one that everybody calls can be real difficult.
Yep.
So it's a good thing you still have the house number for people to call so that they can dial that, leave a message, you can call them back.
Yep.
You know, when, 'cause a lot of times, well, I think before I've left you a message on that phone with some info so you could figure it out and then just give me a call back when you had the info. Sometimes you get caught off guard and you don't have the info for somebody or whatever.
Yep.
You know, when they call your cell phone. And that's the one that's with you, so you pick it up because it rang.
Yep, and you can leave a better message on a landline.
Yeah.
Because everybody loves that broke-up message on the cell phone.
Yeah,
What was that?
They're somebody's in a bad area, and they leave you the message. You know, what did they say?
Yeah, you play it four or five times to get the correct number.
Yeah, and your phone was occupied, so it didn't record the number.
Yeah.
And they were talking, and it leaves out one number.
Yeah.
Well, let's see, left out one number, I have 9 choices.
Right.
10. I got the 0.
Right.
That can be kind of a hassle, but anyway, some new things.
Yeah, I brought some toys in to show you.
We covered the shotguns, the rifles, the scopes, the handgun cleaning. A lot of it was cleaning that we were talking about.
Yep.
We talked about getting out there and hitting the bench and hitting the range. So I think we're all covered. So I want to know more about these.
I brought in some cartridges that little Wildcat project I've been working on, and it's 50-50 Wildcat. The tooling is commercially available, but you need to make the brass yourself. And what it is, it's a 284 Winchester case, and we neck it all the way down to 22 caliber, .224 diameter.
What's the length of a 284? Do you know?
This is right here, the length of it. I would think it's probably 2 1/4, the case.
2 1/4?
From mouth to base?
Yeah, it probably is. Probably just over 2.
Yep.
Right from where the bullet's seated there,
yep.
Right back to the back.
And you gain a little neck. When you neck this thing down to 22, the neck length grows.
Okay.
Because the shoulder taper's already at 35 degrees from the factory, and we push it back. We keep the 35 degree, but you're increasing the taper, pushing the neck out.
Okay. So some of this talk, folks, this is for guys that are reloaders.
For all these wildcat critter getters out there.
Critter getters. This is the long-distance critter getter.
Yes.
So what is the diameter of a 284 casing? Not the 280. The bullet, of course, is a 0.284 of an
yes.
inch.
Yes.
What's the diameter of the casing?
The base of it is 0.543, and the taper is very little taper from the base, where
uh-huh.
your rim is, up to the shoulder.
Uh-huh.
I'd have to mic it out, but as you can see when you look at the case, it's pretty straight.
Yeah, there's not much taper there.
Which is a wildcatter's dream. It's right up the Ackley Improved Alley.
Now, I know you all can't see this, and we don't have a webcam going for you, but I can see it, and I can tell you
it's a beautiful thing.
So then you took that 284 casing, and you necked it down to a 22.
Yes.
Then the bullet... Is it a bullet that's out there?
Yep,
or
that
you're
is
making the bullet?
AMAX 75 grain bullet from Hornaday.
Okay,
and
so it's a regular 22
yep.
caliber bullet, but it's AMAX?
Yep, that's Hornaday's AMAX line. There's
so
a VMAX.
A that's a model.
Yes, and then there's an AMAX.
Okay.
AMAX is more of their match bullet.
Okay.
But for the application and the long range, AMAXs will expand and give you a nice clean kill out to 500 and further. 500
okay.
yards.
Okay. So we're neck down so we can press in our 22 caliber,
yep.
75 grain. And then we have how many grains of powder?
Well, this one will hold about 54 grains of a slow burning powder. I use H1000.
Okay.
Because the rate of burn, the twist rate of the barrel, and the weight of the bullet, all those factors come into play, and H1000 was the best candidate. I tried some Reloader 22. About 200 feet per second slower than I wanted. H1000 so cranked up the velocity.
The slow burning develops speed as it's going down the barrel.
Yes, the powder's burning the full length of the barrel. Maximum pressure, maximum velocity.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. No recoil
to speak
of. I'm
sorry, folks, if you don't understand everything we're talking about, but this excites me.
Oh. Matter of fact, the crows are quiet out there when they're looking at that through the window. They're nervous.
They're sitting in the tree looking at it going,
yep.
uh-oh. But, okay, so that's nice to know that you pick the powder that helps you increase your speed
yeah.
within the barrel. It's not a instantaneous boom, and it's actually losing speed
right.
before it exits the barrel.
Right. You run through ballistic programs. Mm-hmm. You do a lot of experiments on the computer to determine, do I even want to mess with this powder or not? So once you run it through a program, you can narrow down a dozen powders. And when I did load development on this, I had 2 powders that I chose.
Okay.
And it was very fast to develop an accurate load. And
technology.
Oh,
isn't
it's awesome.
Cool? Latest chronograph that I saw.
Yeah.
Straps to your barrel.
Really?
You don't have to set it up separate benches and stuff. You strap
wow.
it right on, and it's pretty darn accurate.
Huh.
A guy that I mentored through becoming a hunter safety instructor and stuff, he just recently got that. He wants to get into high power.
Oh, okay.
So you might see him soon.
Wow, cool.
He was asking questions. I said, I know the guy who can answer those questions.
Good.
So, okay. Now, it's a 284 neck down to a 22. So you had to custom build this, the barrel to the chamber.
Oh, yeah. Yep. All that's... A custom chamber, bought the barrel out of Oregon. I had it Cairo froze, 300 below. They deep freeze the barrel.
Really?
There's other reasons I did that, to slow erosion, slicking it up. And
okay.
So this whole rifle build, there's a lot of experimental things with
mm-hmm.
it. And
so
it's turned out good.
How many pounds
this thing will,
of force?
At 500 yards, that particular load right there is just a hair under 1,000 pounds of energy. So if you're swatting a crow out there, he might just turn into like a black dust pile.
Might be like He does fine.
Of course, in season. Right.
Well, yeah. Yeah, you got to be in season. I think we have till September 15th with them. Or do they go to the end of September? I think they're the end of September. But small game starts September 15th.
Yep.
What about woodchucks with
them? Oh, yes. Yep. Any kind of vermin is going to shudder.
That would be a smooth, clean, or, you know, one like shot. Smooth.
Very low recoil, lots of energy, lots of power.
You want to know more about this? Call Bob. 399-1699.
Talk your ear off.
MOA Gunsmith. Talk to you next week right here on the Outdoor Show.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for joining us this morning for the WHTC Outdoor Show with your host, Tom Bedendorf, the outdoor show for the whole family. Today's show has been brought to you by Powderhorn Guns and Archery. If you missed today's show or you'd like to hear it again, go online for the podcast at WHTC.com and join us next Saturday morning at 7 a.m. for the WHTC Outdoor Show on 1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown station.